Chapter 17. Older, more weathered.
"Was not fruitful, Majesty," the voice said through Matt's doze.
Something was pricking Matt's face. This mattress was the absolute worst he had ever slept on. He was going to thrash the innkeeper until he got his money back.
"The assassin is very difficult to follow."
That annoying voice again.
"People he passes do not remember him. If the Prince of the Ravens has information on how the creature may be tracked, I would very much like to hear it."
Why would the innkeeper let these people into Matt's room? He drifted toward consciousness, leaving behind a lovely dream involving Tuon and no cares in the world. He opened a bleary eye, looking up at a cloudy sky. Not an inn's ceiling at all.
"Bloody ashes," Matt thought, groaning.
They had fallen asleep in the gardens. He sat up, finding himself totally bare except for the scarf around his neck. His and Tuon's clothing were spread out beneath them. His face had been in a patch of weeds. Tuon sat beside him, ignoring the fact that she was completely naked, speaking with a member of the Death Watch Guard. Musenge was on one knee, head bowed, face toward the ground. But still...
"Light,"
Matt said, reaching for his clothing. Tuon was sitting on his shirt and gave him an annoyed look as he tried to yank it free.
"Honored one,"
the guard said to Matt, face still down.
"Greetings upon your waking."
"Tuon, why are you just sitting there?"
Matt demanded, finally retrieving his shirt from under that luscious rump.
"As my consort," Tuon said sternly, "you may call me Fortuona or Majesty. I would hate to have you executed before you give me a child, as I am growing fond of you. Regarding this guard, he is of the Death Watch. They are needed to watch me at all times. I have often had them with me when bathing. This is their duty, and his face is averted."
Matt hurriedly began dressing. She started to dress, though not quickly enough for his taste. He did not think much of a guard ogling his wife. The place where they had slept was rimmed by small blue fir trees, an oddity here in the south, perhaps cultivated because they were exotic. Though the needles were browning, they offered some measure of privacy. Beyond the firs was a ring of other trees, peaches, Matt thought, but it was hard to tell without the leaves. He could barely hear the city waking up outside the garden, and the air smelled faintly of the fir needles. The air was warm enough that sleeping outside had not been uncomfortable, though he was glad to be back in his clothing. A Death Watch Guard officer approached just as Tuon finished dressing. He crunched dried fir needles, bowing low before her.
"Empress, we may have caught another assassin. It is not the creature from last night, as he bears no wounds, but he was trying to sneak into the palace. We thought you might wish to see him before we begin our interrogation."
"Bring him forward," Tuon said, straightening her gown. "And send for General Karid."
The officer withdrew, passing Seleucia, who stood near the pathway that led to the clearing. She walked in to stand beside Tuon. Matt put his hat on his head and went up to her other side, setting the Ashandarai butt down in the dead grass. Matt felt sorry for this poor fool caught sneaking into the palace. Maybe the man was an assassin, but he could just be a beggar or other fool looking for excitement. Or he could be...
the Dragon Reborn.
Matt groaned.
Yes, that was Rand they led along the path.
Rand looked older, more weathered, than the last time Matt had seen him in person. Of course, he had seen the man recently in those blasted visions. Although Matt had trained himself to stop thinking of Rand to avoid those colors, he still slipped on occasion. Anyway, seeing Rand in person was different. It had been... light. How long had it been? The last time I saw him with my own eyes was when he sent me to Saladar after Elaine. That felt like an eternity ago. It had been before he had come to Ebudar, before he had seen the Golom for the first time,
Before Tylan, before Tuon. Matt frowned as Rand was led up to Tuon, his arms bound behind his back. She spoke with Seleucia, wiggling her fingers in their hand talk. Rand did not seem the least bit worried. His face was calm. He wore a nice coat of red and black, a white shirt underneath, black trousers. No gold or jewelry, no weapon at all. Tuon, Matt began, that's... Tuon turned from Seleucia to see Rand.
Damani, Tuon said, cutting Matt off. Bring my Damani. Run, Muzikar, run!
The Death Watch guard stumbled backward, then ran, yelling for the Damani and for Banner General Kareed. Rand watched the man go, nonchalant, though he was bound. You know, Matt thought idly, he kind of does look like a king. Of course, Rand was mad, most likely. That would explain why he had strolled up to Tuon like this. Either that or Rand was just planning on killing her. Bonds did not matter one bit to a man who could channel. Blood and ashes, Matt thought. How did I end up in this situation? He had done whatever he could to avoid Rand. Rand met Tuon's stare. Matt took a big breath, then jumped in front of her.
Rand? Rand, here now. Let's be calm.
Hello, Matt, Rand said, voice pleasant.
Light, he was mad.
Thank you for leading me to her.
Leading you? What is this? Tuon demanded.
Matt spun.
I... Really, it's just...
Her stare could have drilled holes into steel.
You did this, she said to Matt. You came, you lured me to be affectionate, then you brought him in. Is this true?
Don't blame him, Rand said. The two of us needed to meet again. You know it is true. Matt stumbled out between them, raising one hand either direction.
Here now. Both of you, stop. You hear me?
Something seized Matt, hauling him into the air.
Stop that, Rand, he said.
It isn't me, Rand said, adopting a look of concentration.
Ah, I am shielded.
As Matt hung in the air, he felt at his chest. The medallion.
Where was his medallion?
Matt stared at Tuon. She looked ashamed for a brief moment, then reaching into the pocket of her gown. She brought out something silver in her hand, perhaps intending to use the medallion as protection against Rand.
Brilliant, Matt thought, groaning.
She had taken it off him while he slept, and he had not noticed.
Bloody brilliant.
The weaves of air set him down beside Rand. Kareed had returned with Asuldam and Damani. All three were flushed as if having run quickly. The Damani had been doing the channeling. Tuon looked over Rand and Matt, then began gesturing with hand talk at Seleucia with sharp motions.
Thanks a bundle for this, Matt muttered to Rand. You're such a bloody good friend.
It's good to see you too, Rand said, a hint of a smile on his lips.
Here we go, Matt said with a sigh. You've pulled me into trouble again. You always do this.
I do?
Yes. In Rydion and the Waste, in the Stone of Tyr, back in the Two Rivers. You do realize that I went south instead of coming to your little party with Egwene and Marilor to escape?
You think you could stay away from me? Rand asked, smiling. You really think it would let you?
I could bloody try. No offense, Rand, but you're going to go mad and all.
I figured I'd give you one less friend nearby to kill. You know, save you some trouble. What did you do to your hand, by the way? What did you do to your eye?
A little accident with a corkscrew and 13 angry innkeepers.
The hand? Lost it capturing one of the Forsaken.
Capturing? Matt said.
You're growing soft. Rand snorted. Tell me you've done better.
I killed a golem, Matt said.
I freed Ilion from Samael.
I married the Empress of the Shanchan.
Matt, Rand said. Are you really trying to get into a bragging contest with the Dragon Reborn? He paused for a moment. Besides, I cleansed Saidin. I win.
"Ah, that's not really worth much," Matt said.
"Not worth much? It's the single most important event to happen since the breaking."
"Bah! You and your Asherman are already crazy," Matt said. "So what does it matter?"
He glanced to the side.
"You look nice, by the way. You've been taking better care of yourself lately."
"So you do care," Rand said.
"Of course I do," Matt grumbled, looking back at Tuon. "I mean, you have to keep yourself alive, right? Go have your little duel with the Dark One and keep us all safe? It's good to know you're looking up to it."
"That's nice to hear," Rand said, smiling. "No wisecracks about my nice coat?"
"What? Wisecracks?
You aren't still sore because I teased you a little a couple of years ago."
"Teased?" Rand said. "You spent weeks refusing to talk to me."
"Here now," Matt said. "It wasn't all that bad. I remember that part easily."
Rand shook his head as if bemused.
Bloody ungrateful was what he was. Matt had gone off to fetch Elaine, as Rand had asked, and this was the thanks he was given.
Sure, Matt had been a little sidetracked after that. He had still done it, had he not?
"All right," Matt said very softly, tugging at the bonds of air holding him. "I'll get us out of this, Rand. I'm married to her. Let me do the talking, and—"
"Daughter of Arthur Hawkwing," Rand said to Tuon. "Time spins toward the end of all things. The last battle has begun, and the threads are being woven. Soon my final trial will begin."
Tuon stepped forward, Salusha waving a few last finger-talk words toward her.
"You will be taken to Shanshan, Dragon Reborn," Tuon said.
Her voice was collected, firm. Matt smiled. Light, but she made a good empress. There was no need to filch my medallion, though, he thought. They were going to have words about that, assuming he survived this. She would not really execute him, would she? Again, he tried the invisible bonds tying him.
"Is that so?" Rand asked.
"You have delivered yourself to me," Tuon said. "It is an omen."
She seemed almost regretful.
"You did not truly think that I would allow you to stroll away, did you? I must take you in chains as a ruler who resisted me, as I have done to the others I found here. You pay the price of your ancestors' forgetfulness. You should have remembered your oaths."
"I see," Rand said.
"You know," Matt thought, "he does a fair job of sounding like a king, too. Light, what kind of people had Matt surrounded himself with? What happened to the fair barmaids and carousing soldiers?"
"Tell me something, Empress," Rand said. "What would you all have done if you'd returned to these shores and found Arthur Hawkwing's armies still ruling? What if we hadn't forgotten our oaths? What if we had stayed true? What then?"
"We would have welcomed you as brothers," Tuon said.
"Oh?" Rand said. "And you would have bowed to the throne here? Hawkwing's throne? If his empire still stood, it would have been ruled over by his heir. Would you have tried to dominate them? Would you instead have accepted their rule over you?"
"That is not the case," Tuon said,
but she seemed to find his words intriguing.
"No, it is not," Rand said.
"By your argument, you must submit to us," she smiled.
"I did not make that argument," Rand said. "But let us do so. How do you claim the right to these lands?"
"By being the only legitimate heir of Arthur Hawkwing."
"And why should that matter?"
"This is his empire. He is the only one to have unified it. He is the only leader to have ruled it in glory and greatness."
"And there you are wrong," Rand said, voice growing soft. "You accept me as the Dragon Reborn."
"You must be,"
Tuon said slowly, as if wary of a trap.
"Then you accept me for who I am," Rand said, voice growing loud, crisp, like a battle horn. I am Luz Theron Telamon, the dragon. I ruled these lands, unified during the Age of Legends. I was leader of all the armies of the Light. I wore the Ring of Tamerlan. I stood first among the servants, highest of the Aes Sedai, and I could summon the Nine Rods of Dominion. Rand stepped forward. I held the loyalty and fealty of all 17 generals of Dawn's Gate. Fortuna Athaem Devi Payendrag, my authority supersedes your own.
Arta Hawkwing,
my authority supersedes that of Hawkwing. If you claim rule by the name of he who conquered, then you must bow before my prior claim. I conquered before Hawkwing, though I needed no sword to do so. You are here on my land, Empress, at my sufferance.
Thunder broke in the distance. Matt found himself shaking. Light, it was just Rand. Just Rand, was it not? Tuon backed away, eyes wide, her lips parted. Her face was full of horror, as if she had just seen her own parents executed. Green grass spread around Rand's feet. The guards nearby jumped back, hands to swords, as a swath of life extended from Rand. The brown and yellow blades colored, as if paint had been poured on them, then came upright, stretching as if after long slumber. The greenness filled the entire garden clearing.
"He's still shielded," the Suldam cried. "Honored one, he is still shielded."
Matt shivered, and then noticed something. Very soft, so easy to miss.
"Are you singing?"
Matt whispered to Rand. Yes, it was unmistakable. Rand was singing, under his breath, very softly. Matt tapped his foot.
"I swear I've heard that tune somewhere once. Is it Two Maids at the Water's Edge?"
"You're not helping," Rand whispered. "Quiet." Rand continued his song. The green spread to the trees, the firs strengthening their limbs. The other trees began to shoot out leaves. They were indeed peach trees, growing at great speed, life flooding into them. The guards looked about themselves, spinning, trying to watch all of the trees at once. Seleucia had cringed. Tuon remained upright, her eyes focused on Rand. Nearby, the frightened Suldam and Damani must have stopped concentrating, for the bonds holding Matt vanished.
"Do you deny my right?" Rand demanded. "Do you deny that my claim to this land precedes your own by thousands of years?"
"I..."
Tuon took a deep breath and stared at him defiantly.
"You broke the land, abandoned it. I can deny your right."
Behind her, blossoms exploded onto the trees like fireworks, white and deep pink. The bursts of color surrounded them. Petals sprayed outward with their growth, breaking from the trees, catching in the wind, and swirling through the clearing.
"I allowed you to live," Rand said to Tuon, "when I could have destroyed you in an instant. This is because you have made life better for those under your rule, though you are not without guilt for the way you have treated some. Your rule is as flimsy as paper. You hold this land together only through the strength of steel and Damani, but your homeland burns. I have not come here to destroy you. I come to you now to offer you peace, Empress. I have come without armies. I have come without force. I have come because I believe that you need me as I need you." Rand stepped forward and, remarkably, went down on one knee, bowing his head, his hand extended. "I extend my hand to you in alliance. The last battle is upon us. Join me and fight."
The clearing fell still. The wind stopped blowing, the thunder stopped rumbling. Peach blossoms wafted to the now green grass. Rand remained where he was, hand extended. Tuon stared at that hand as if at a viper. Matt hurried forward.
"Nice trick," he said under his breath to Rand. "Very nice trick."
He approached Tuan, taking her by the shoulders and turning her to the side. Nearby, Salusha looked stunned. Kareed was not in much better shape. They would not be any help.
"Hey, look," Matt said to her softly. "He's a good fellow. He's rough at the corners sometimes, but you can trust his word. If he's offering you a treaty, he'll make good on it."
"That was a very impressive display," Tuan said softly.
She was trembling faintly.
"What is he?"
"Burn me if I know," Matt said. "Listen, Tuan, I grew up with Rand. I vouch for him."
"There is a darkness in that man, Matrim. I saw it when last he and I last met. Look at me, Tuan. Look at me."
She looked up, meeting his gaze.
"You can trust Randall Thor with the world itself," Matt said. "And if you can't trust him, trust me. He's our only choice. We don't have time to take him back to Shonchan. I've been in the city long enough to have a little peek at your forces. If you're going to fight the last battle and recapture your homeland, you're going to need a stable base here in Altara. Take his offer. He just claimed this land. Well, make him secure your borders as they are and announce it to the others. They might listen. Take a little pressure off you. Unless, that is, you want to fight the Trollocs, the nations of this land, and the rebels in Shonchan at the same time."
Tuan blinked.
"Our forces."
"What?"
"You called them my forces," she said. "They are our forces. You are one of us now, Matrim."
"Well, I guess I am at that. Listen, Tuan, you have to do this. Please." She turned, looking at Rand, kneeling in the middle of a pattern of peach blossoms that seemed to have circled out from him. Not a one had fallen on him.
"What is your offer?"
Tuan asked.
"Peace," Rand said, standing, hand still out. "Peace for 100 years. Longer, if I can make it so. I have persuaded the other rulers to sign a treaty and work together to fight the armies of the Shadow."
"I would have my borders secured," Tuan said.
"Altara and Amadisia shall be yours."
"Tarabon and Almuth Plain as well," Tuan said. "I hold them now. I will not be forced from them by your treaty. You wish peace? You will give me this."
"Tarabon and half of Almuth Plain," Rand said. "The half you already control."
"I would have all the women this side of the Arith Ocean who can channel as Domani," Tuan said.
"Do not strain your luck, Empress," Rand said dryly. I will allow you to do what you will in Shonchan, but I will require you to relinquish any Domani you have taken while in this land."
"Then we have no agreement," Tuan said.
Matt held his breath. Rand hesitated, hand lowering.
"The fate of the world itself could hang on this, Fortuona. Please."
"If it is that important," she said firmly, "you can agree to my demand. Our property is our own. You wish a treaty? Then you will get it with this clause. We keep the Domani we already have. In exchange, I will allow you to leave in freedom."
Rand grimaced.
"You're as bad as one of the sea folk."
"I should hope I'm worse," Tuan said,
no emotion in her voice.
"The world is your charge, dragon, not mine. I care for my empire. I will greatly need those Domani. Choose now, as I believe you said your time is short."
Rand's expression darkened, then he thrust his hand outward.
"Let it be done. Light be merciful, let it be done. I will carry this weight too. You may keep the Domani you already have, but you shall not take any from among my allies while we fight the last battle. Taking any afterward who are not in your own land will be seen as breaking the treaty and attacking the other nations."
Tuan stepped forward, then took Rand's hand in her own. Matt let out a breath.
"I have documents for you to review and sign," Rand said.
"Salusha will take them," Tuan said. "Matrim, with me. We must prepare the Empire for war."
Tuan walked away down the path, her step controlled, though Matt suspected that she wanted to be away from Rand as quickly as possible. He understood the sentiment. He followed, but stopped beside Rand.
"Seems you have a bit of the Dark One's luck yourself," he muttered to Rand. "I can't believe that worked."
"Honestly," Rand said softly, "I can't either. Thank you for the good word."
"Sure," Matt said. "By the way, I saved Moraine. Chew on that as you try to decide which of the two of us is winning."
Matt followed Tuan, and behind him rose the laughter of the dragon reborn.